Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song, nothing but blue birds all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by, when you're in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue skies from now on.
All right. Well, certainly not the scatter, but, you know, I throw a few lines in every now and then. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and you're at the right place. And, yes, you're at the right time, even though we're approaching the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you for taking the time out and staying with us and throughout it all, being here. We so much appreciate it, as I like to say and repeatedly do. We here at Progressive News Weekly are here week in and week out for you, of you. Truly, it is a, well, I would say a work, but it's not really a work. It's a labor of love. It's news that's well, intended to inspire you and encourage you and enlighten you and, of course, empower you, but most of all, to really instill you, encourage you to get involved and make a difference. Truly, it is news you can use. And so, with that, this evening is no exception. Yes, that's right. We've got a special program lined up for you tonight. If you're on the mail list, then you know who I'm talking about. And if you're not, then all you have to do is send me an email, and I'll make sure I add you to the mail list. So, the email that you'll want to send it to me is simply progressivenews@msn.com, or you can send it to my direct email, which is Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore, C-L-A-1-8, at msn.com. And we'll be sure to add you to the mail list. If you have any suggestions or thoughts or even constructive criticism, we'd like to hear about it. If you have a topic or guest that you think needs to be brought to the masses that doesn't especially typically get mainstream media attention, I'd love to hear about it. Of course, we're going to vet it. We're going to check it out to make sure it's grounded in fact and truth and can be resourced. But with that said and that given, we'll certainly do everything we can to bring it to the airwaves. So this evening, well, we have Dr. Glenn Mendoza. And for our regular listeners, well, you know Dr. Mendoza is no stranger to Progressive News. In fact, he's been with us, we're approaching better part of a decade, that from time to time he comes on. And he's a very special guest simply because he is world-renowned. Master Glenn, Dr. Glenn Mendoza, is recognized for his work in the field of medicine, being a director of a neonatal clinic in New York, suffering New York. He's also recognized for his work as a pranic healer, and we'll be talking more about that as well. So, yes, Dr. Mendoza is truly someone that we're really blessed to be able to have with us. With everything that's going on in the world today, all of the turmoil, all of the chaos, Dr. Mendoza, with what he does, he brings, I like to say, solace, you know, to the fore. And we always need that. We always need that. So.
Hello?
So that would be very, very important that we... that we have someone the likes of a doctor, Mendoza, Master Glenn, as he's respectfully referred to, because he is one of only a few masters in that art and that science of pranic healing. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But it's especially a blessing now to be able to have Master Glenn with us, because of so much that's going on. In the years that Master Glenn has partnered with Progressive News in the past, there's always something going on in our society, folks. We know that. I mean, if it's not a war or something going on with regard to the latest virus that's going around locally or nationally, or some civil turmoil. We have a combination of all of this happening right now at a pandemic level. And for what Master Glenn brings to the table in this time is simply invaluable right now. And we're going to talk about that. And we cover a broad gamut on progressive news, week in and week out, sometimes from a perspective of some or a few or many, controversial, as the topic that we'll talk about tonight might be considered by some aspects that. But whatever it is, we're grounding it in truth and in fact. And some of the topics that we speak of, whether it's the environment or it's the foods that are prevalent that are not something that we have researched and found in some cases and maybe many cases good for our public, or many of other topics that we discuss, injustices, those are things that just naturally bring about an emotion that can be considered abrasive. And every now and then you have to step back, folks. So I'm just, again, so glad that we have this opportunity tonight to have Master Glenn with us to kind of just bring a little calm to the waves, to the rushing, the sea and the oceans, and to the strong winds. Just bring a little perspective there. Kind of help us step back and then give us some tools that will maybe help us to navigate those things just a little bit better. So I'm honored, and you'll see, for those of our new listeners, why, to have Master Glenn with us tonight. And we're going to talk about, hopefully we have a little time, because he's been so busy with the work he's done in the last 3 months, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in the last few months we really haven't had a chance to really get into any, well, even relatively depthful discourse. But hoping tonight we have maybe a few more minutes with him. Instead of 5 or 10, maybe we can get 20 or so. And maybe dabble into a few areas of his expertise. And maybe he can even share with us his new work, his book that he just recently published. So without further ado, and I see he is in studio, virtual studio. We practice safe distancing here even before the pandemic. Laughter's good. I even though my jokes may not be well, a little dry. Master Glenn, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Hey, Darryl, thank you for the invitation. Thank you. You're right. It somehow, for whatever reason, it has slowed down. I guess I have slowed down for the past couple of months. That's good.
Yeah, you've been so busy.
And by the way, happy birthday! I think it's your time of the year.
Yes, Monday, past Monday. Yeah.
When was that?
Yes, yes. Last Monday. Yes.
Good. Congrats! Happy birthday. So
thank you.
I remember ago. I don't even know how long now we've been.
We're approaching we're the better part of close to a decade. It's been over 5 years. And I know it's gone fast, but it's been a good journey, and I'm just honored and plum pleasing, just pleasurable over the whole journey with, and I've grown so much, and I appreciate you, Dr. Master Glenn. I truly do.
Thank
so many
you.
Thousands and hundreds of thousands around the world do. And we're going to talk a little bit about that before we let you go and what's coming up with the global meditation. So as I was saying, there's so much. I almost don't know where to start. why don't we start with some of the work that you've been doing with regard to meditation? I've done a little introduction about, you know, some of your work being a bird in meditation and a specialist in astrology and, of course, an author, humanitarian, master pranic healer, as well as a medical doctor. But I'm gonna pick one, and that's the work you've been doing with regard to the prana or energy of meditation over the last several months. And for, I believe it was 100 days, you held a special meditation. I know many of the listeners here listening participated with on a daily basis. Can you talk a little bit about that? And then that'll maybe segue into the upcoming full moon and meditation and maybe a little bit about astrology, and then you can get into a little table of pranic healing and your book. I know it's a lot, but we can touch upon it.
No, thank you. Looking back, remember in just a brief moment, the coronavirus and the coronavirus crisis have changed the whole world. In just overnight, there was a lockdown, and there was if those who are listening at that time, there was a lot of uncertainty, and I would tend to believe the word was fear. There was fear of the unknown. There was uncertainty of what is going to happen. It was an unprecedented time wherein there was just uneasiness in every area. And on March 13, when the government started to roll the lockdown period, we didn't even know they're going to close all the airports and all the states and all the United States. And I said, let's do a meditation to bless the earth. There's a lot of stress. Meditation is a refuge or is a tool we can use to allay that. So I remember I said we're going to use it only, do it for 7 days. We started with a couple of hundreds of people, just a short period of time, maybe 300 or 400. And it bubbled up to over 1,000 every night. And it continued. We had 3 full moons, which we're going to talk about. We have 3 powerful full moons that were interspersed between those nightly meditations. And we are people from different parts of the world, different cultures, different religions, all just want to hold on to stability in these uncertain times, and held on to the meditation. You know, we opened it to the public, and so we were getting, we start at 9 o'clock or 8:30 in the evening here in New York, Eastern time, and it was early in the East, and we people from Hong Kong, Singapore, Asia, Australia, India, they joined us as they start their day. And it was wonderful. We continued with it for 100 days, and a lot more people were asking for that. We had deep meditations. We have short talks. But we came together with one purpose, no different from any meditation that we have. We bless Mother Earth. And by doing that, we get something wherein we remove our stress. We go deeper into our inner self and find some refuge in uncertain times. I didn't even know what I when somebody interviewed me, a person interviewed me, I said, we heard about you're doing almost 50 days or 60 days of meditation. And I said, yes. He said, what is your agenda? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry. didn't make sense. I said, I don't have an agenda. It's like going to, I said, I don't have, put it this way. I called her back. We spoke again the following day. I said, let me correct that. That didn't make sense. You can't go run a meditation. You don't have an agenda. What I'm really saying was that I don't have a personal interest. I don't have any personal agenda, and I don't have anything. I just want to do this because it's the right thing to do. And I said, a person who has that with no personal agenda, no personal interest, no nothing to hold on to except the right thing to do, I think makes that person invincible, I said. I got written up at the Forbes magazine because of that. That was really nice. So,
wow.
So, and at the same time, I was able to put thousands of people overnight in a deep meditative state. So meditation, you have to understand, for those of you whose minds are active, they call this the monkey mind. You're jumping from one thought to another thought to another thought. So some of the advice people have is to calm your emotions. So for those who are emotional or those who have emotional issues, still your mind. And if you quiet that mind, then you become, open yourself to the whisper of the higher soul. It's just a metaphorical statement for of the higher soul or what other spiritual teacher says, the voice of silence. We didn't know that. We just knew about the metaphoric statement, but people experienced it. But that was wonderful.
So looking back on that experience, those 100 days, we always talk about, and you've always said you never stop learning. What would you say was the greatest lesson, the largest benefit from that experience? Because it was quite an experience, and I was on most of those, and I know it certainly did a lot for me in terms of quieting my spirit, my soul, and yet opening me up to myself, if that makes some sense to our listeners. If not, maybe we, in the course of this discourse, can maybe peel that back on that a little bit to help one understand. And by the way, listeners, as always, we are live, so if you have a question or a comment for Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza, the dial-in number is 347-838-9142. And if you dialed that number to tune in, press 1 on the dial. We'd love to have some discourse and hear your input. So with that said, Master Glenn, what looking back, you know, hindsight I've heard is 2020. Going in, you didn't know what the agenda was, but did you look back? You found that maybe there was one that you didn't realize that was a path that was laid for you?
Truthfully, I did not know. I did not know. The only thing was that one of the things that I've always said, and I think Abraham Lincoln said that, I keep on quoting it, like, just get yourself ready so when you are cold, you're prepared. I did not know. You know, we talked about full moon for a long time. We talk about meditation. I teach meditation. We studied. We did research on meditation. I pursue other research specialists to do research on meditation. Then all of a sudden, the opportunity came, and it just opened the door to a lot of things. To me, I was just probably prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. At one point in time, I invited somebody coming in from Atlanta. I drove up and said, okay, I'll join you in a meditation. So she came late. And all of a sudden, she saw that in the end, she called it, you were a conductor in our silent symphony. He said, she saw me having two big monitors in front of me with thousands of people, and it was silent. And the way she said it is that there was a, you led us on the path of heart opening, and that we experienced deep inner stillness and silence, and dazzled others as our body became motionless and our souls danced to a song that sounds longingly familiar. And it was all quiet. You were watching us just to be sure everything was safe. Like a, she said, it's like a conductor making sure that everything is smooth. I think that's, I thought I liked that.
So, wow, and what a conductor. How many hundreds and thousands that you had in your symphony orchestra?
Yeah, we had almost 1,000 every day, and we have a couple of hundreds being translated into Spanish and a couple of hundreds translated in Portuguese. There are people who are hungry for spiritual food, and they found it, like they were referred to it by friends, and we offered that, and it made all the difference when it changed their lives. So in fact, in a short period of time, I said, how can I communicate with them? Wait, hold on, let me make my own an email on the spot. So I made an email, masterglenn@globalmeditation@gmail.com, and we have thousands of emails that came in. How throughout the years, throughout the meditations, they attended 99, 97. I missed this because Mother's Day, and some of them experienced physical healing, emotional healing. They learned how to forgive. They had deep experiences. They felt closer to their families and loved ones. It was a healing process all throughout. So it was fantastic. So another lesson we have, I said, we're trying to write a book on what I call lessons in times of uncertainty. So because I included that in the meditation, we have lessons here. So I have lessons. The coronavirus was a mirror. Meditation is like the wind, wherein you could just flow with the wind and enjoy it. So those are the lessons that we have. So I created the lessons, and the healing happened also. So I incorporated that. So I said, let's write a book of lessons learned in uncertain times, because it will be forever read in times of uncertainty.
That's true, so, to be used going forward.
In fact, I was thinking, like, my idea was that, say, for example, we have one person, her husband has dementia, and he said, I don't know, it's not the same person that loved me. We loved each other for a long time. Now he goes deep into this and all that. And I gave her one of the rules and said, oh, could you do me a favor? I was thinking of writing a book, and she's the one who really writes very well. I was thinking of having a story of one person and incorporating the rule there, something like that. I said, oh, yeah, that's nice. So it was just something that's moving forward right now after all those responses people had. So that was good.
So it's interesting that those hundreds and thousands created the lesson. It wasn't any one thing. It was the aggregate of all the energy that brought about the benefit. And we've talked about that many times when I remember asking you, and I remember asking from time to time, is there not a greater benefit when there are greater numbers? And you've always said, well, yeah, the greater the number, the greater the benefit. And so with what you're talking about now, and especially when you created that that email to get the feedback, and the book that's in place or in process, will be a product of all of those energies combined to then give back to all of those individuals and even a broader base. Because, as you said, uncertain times are not in a vacuum. They just don't, and I mentioned this at the very beginning of this program, we've had them before. We're having them at an unprecedented level perhaps now. And not to try to predict the future, but reasonably, we are probably going to have them in the future. And so this is something that I believe we can look forward to for other times of uncertainty to utilize. It's like, I guess, learning from our experiences, Master Glenn, you know?
Yes. I think and I said this, the coronavirus was a teacher for us, for each one of us, because number one, how, and a huge, powerful teacher, because it did not only taught us, you and me, it taught a city, it taught a nation, it taught the whole world. By shutting us down, and you have to understand that coronavirus does not have any border, that coronavirus does not have any cultural definition or a color, or it's not live in a certain way that we see it. It's invisible. So we have an enemy that we don't know how to address. So all of a sudden, this teacher have shown us a lot of things, locked us in our homes. So you could realize that some had positive results for it, or resolved some of the things that they need to do after being in there with their loved ones for 3 months or so. But somehow, some people, it got the opposite. So when I have a feeling was that when we just had the opportunity to get out of their homes, some of these emotions were just unleashed. So negatively or positively, we don't know. So that the teacher have shown us also what is within us. It's like a mirror. It was a mirror. Sometimes we liked it, and sometimes we didn't like it. We didn't know it was us. Does it make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a time of reflection, more for some, as you said, than others. But certainly there's no denying that not of, you know, our own will, we had to take some downtime. You know, the majority of us, we were forced to stop for a moment. And even though in that cessation of our normal activities, we may have found other things to distract our minds, I believe somewhere in that time frame of being immobile, relatively speaking, that we had to reflect on our circumstance. I just believe that. I believe even the most hurried mind at some point had to say, is this really happening? I mean, after a month, you know, because you had those who say, oh, boy, here we go again, and the naysayers. And then after 2 months, but I think that, as you said, this was a teacher above all teachers. After the third month, yeah. I think even those who are the biggest naysayers had to say, oh, okay, now this is getting serious.
It was the
What's
mirror
going
of
on
life.
Here?
It was, yeah, after 1 month, big deal. Second month, this is real.
Yeah.
Did you see what's happening? After that one time, people cannot just help it. They have to unleash their whatever they have inside of them. Instead of positive, while other people infuse themselves with light, infuse themselves with hope and love, release the old and nourish the new. Some people held on to the old and held on to the dark corners of our inner selves.
Yeah.
It was that, really a lot of reflection on all levels.
That's an excellent point there as well. As we began to come out of, sheltering, and you could see that reflected in many ways. On the positive side, you know, and it just seemed that there's an energy, greater energy of wanting to relate to others, a more appreciation of the whole, that we're all in this. And I think, and maybe we spoke about this in a short period in one of the months past. It kind of brought people under one umbrella. I like to liken it to one of the alien invasion type films, like Independence Day, where the globe has to come together because there's a universal outside force that kind of puts things in perspective that, hey, we're actually all in this together. So for if just for a little bit of time, I think if it was just for a day or a month or a week, there was a period of time when everybody kind of felt, wow, them too? Europe, Asia, Africa, the Middle East, wow, all of us, South America, North America, this is hitting everyone. Wow, like you just said, this has no boundaries. This has no limits on race or religion or gender or ideology. So for that glimpse of time, I think there may have been a spark somewhere, and I'm optimistic that resonates in the universe, and that it's there. It's been recognized, and perhaps we can get some embers going, partially through some of your work with the meditation and some of the things that I think splintered off in terms of people wanting to just have a better world. Now, interestingly, what happened in terms of a counterbalance was this injustice turmoil that's now surfaced, which in a sense is bringing people together as well. What's your thought on that?
That was our mirror. It was our mirror. We always have that. And you could see it triggered something within us that is not only here in the United States, not only in the South, but all throughout the whole world. If this is injustice, this is not right, and people express that. And I said this crisis brings the best and worst in us. it brought out the best and worst in people. And the true quality of a person's character come out during these times. And we've seen it from our public officials. Come on, they're denying what is so obvious to us, but they have the bigger mic. And number two, what is the problem with just wearing a mask? You know, it brings out that something in you. So I wrote a new mantra. Not a big deal. I'll be kind anyway. I'll be kind and thoughtful. Give out the goodness of our hearts for those were in the worst are coming out in them. I'll be kind anyway. Some people, I have to tell this also. The media did not help also. They just want to harp on the negative. But why not the positive? Of course, there are times they were positive, but I'm just saying was that, this woman didn't wear a mask and husband came and shut the security guy. Why? This is just one. A lot of things happen, good things happen in the world. So that's what I said. The crisis brings out, everybody knew that, brings out the best and the worst in us. And I think people realize is that, this is a reflection of ourselves as a person, ourselves as a group, ourselves as a nation. So the America started looking itself, said, hey, this is real. It's coming out. There's something unfolding here for a higher purpose. And we are guided to look at that. This is unsettling to each and every one of us. We have to face it. We have, at the same time, we have to be focused and build ourselves together. Remember I mentioned this, Daryl? Think about it. Remember I mentioned about the Aquarian Age? Aquarian Age is something that is unifying. Aquarius has that ability to unify. We are going into Aquarius. And probably this pandemic was just a prelude to remove some of the past order before we have unity. They said before you have unity and harmony, there'll be divisiveness and separateness, which we see. Before unity and harmony, there'll be disorder, which we are seeing. So I have a feeling was that this is just a way in the future that we are probably going to, there'll be unity and acceptance of diversity and acceptance of harmony in a divine order, higher than what we see now.
Yeah, that's interesting because you talked about that well over a year ago. I remember the conversations over several of our programs. We were talking about the Aquarian, the age that we're in or entering. And so I don't remember the specifics, but you've just reiterated that it is an age of unification. Is that what I just heard you say?
Unification and synthesis that will gather us again. You understand? You will, and I mean this in a positive way. That those things when it's coming out, we see it. And we don't like it, but in a certain way, some people say, hey, that's part of me too. What's coming out of this person, I have it within me. You understand? So it's not only one person, it's a group of persons. And when they realize that, you see, this is where intelligence comes in. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. We have to go above and beyond this. I said when we started the meditation, the rule that I did was that meditation will shape who you want to be, because what you meditate on, you become. And meditation is not only to experience deep spiritual experiences, go into deep, because meditation, the purpose of meditation is to transform us to become a better person. And in doing that, we have to purify ourselves of some of the things that are unrefined within us, emotions, physical, mental. People think that a purpose of meditation, when you close your eyes, that's enough. No, it's what shape you and help you grow. At least that's what I've learned of some of the rules in meditation in our 100 days. It's not only having you remove your stress. So that's being aware of the inner stillness within us. That's as we pass the moment and be aware of our thoughts. That thing too. We became aware of our thoughts. Enclosed in our homes, we realize what our thoughts are. We realize what our emotions are. We realize what our gifts are. We realize what our demons are. So we have to face our demons. We faced our demons.
I love that, because you're talking about a reflection. Back to the mirror again. And what we see in the mirror is not always something that is necessarily what we admire and are proud of. So, but if you don't look in the mirror, you can't remove something that's not right. If your tie is under your collar, or you got a button that's buttoned in properly in the wrong hole, you'd never know it if you didn't. So the mirror, it can be used to correct, not just to witness or visualize. As you say, meditation is not just there to close your eyes and just be still and relax, but it's there to help you with your growth. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. It was,
'cause you said meditate on, and I think that might be a misnomer. I think some people think, meditation, close your eyes and breathe, and that's it. And the mind is just blank. I really think that those that, are not aware, that's what they may think. But meditation can be a tool, not? Well, I know it is, because of what I've done for years and then enhanced with the learning I've gotten from you. You are meditating on something, not on nothing. Would you elaborate on that for me? Because you're an expert. Right? You're not meditating on nothing, right? Is that not right?
Yeah. In fact, they were saying was that we try to meditate to feel that emptiness, to feel nothingness or not a thing. And when you experience it, it is everything. You feel full and it's not empty. It's a paradox.
Wow. If I can say, if I can just use a little metaphor, that's deep. That's a little, that's one that you can really think on.
To quiet their mind, actually in the higher teachings show that in that stillness or in that first you have, in fact, I saw that most of these thousands of people are going deep into meditation more than the advanced students that I followed. I did not have a choice. I have to teach them higher techniques wherein they become aware of the silence now. Because within that silence, you touch the inner self, you touch your higher soul, you touch something deep within yourself, is what they call the silence, the voice of silence, or the whisper of the higher soul. People will become aware of that. then the answers will come. Some people will, it's interesting, there's a number of people have physical problems. They cannot walk, they have back problems, they have knee problems. Just by meditating regularly, the healing started coming. They started to walk more. They like no other. What does that mean? That means a major part of their problems were actually psychological, stress. So the meditation just relieved that. It's like those of us, we have severe issues, back problems, knee problems. Then just make a thorough healing on the psychological, like doing an energetic psychotherapy. All of a sudden, the back problem disappeared. The knee problem disappeared for years. So a lot of them are just, again, the mirror will show us some of the things within us, and we could approach it once we recognize it. It's always been there. Some of them could not forgive. They've been hurt for a long time. With meditation, it touches something within a person that you'll be able to forgive. And when you forgive, that healing will just be positive.
Yeah, it's as though the stillness and silence, it removes the obstacles to reveal what's underlying in one's core. And it's not always something that you want to retain. I would think it often can reveal things that are not considered positive, such as anger or envy or jealousy, and some individuals may realize that that's there, but I think the meditation reveals it in a very inward way that allows one to set it aside from themselves, versus it being something that's a part of them. It's something that they put or brought in one way or another through circumstances or environments or whatever or other means, but they can maybe separate themselves from those negative emotions through being still, allowing them to perhaps release them a lot easier, because you're isolating them as opposed to them being something that, you know, you're thinking is just a part of who a person is or who you are, who we are. And I think that's one of the benefits there. But speaking of meditation, we have a global meditation coming up, a full moon meditation that's coming up in the next few days. Is it Sunday?
Sunday, because what happened was that, remember I mentioned to you, Daryl, that I cannot just leave this. Well, they want to continue with it, so I made a compromise that we probably will do it on every Wednesday. So we did it every Wednesday, and not only that, we did a family. So the family, the kids were starting to do that, so that was fun. That was nice. So we realized we bring in the children. It's even better, so it's a family. We'll have it on Sunday at 7 o'clock. For those of you who are listening, we were able to get a full moon meditation. I'd like to invite everybody. It's a Cancer, so it's Daryl's sign. So that's a good thing. And we'll have it at 7:30 to around 9. It will be worldwide, and we'll have translations for, anyway, it doesn't affect us, but there are some people will do translations for them. And go into fullmoonmeditation.us, fullmoonmeditation.us, which Daryl and I created to make it easier. So you could have that. We'll give you the link, and we'll pick it up from there. I think have us experience. Let your listeners get to experience the wonders of meditation as we have done for the past 100 days.
Fullmoonmeditation.us, correct?
Yes.
We'll get them to the site that we, you know, have been talking about, and that will be a kind of a double treat, because, as you said, they're going to get the benefit of, you know, having guided meditation, but also under a full moon. And the significance of that is the energies of the full moon. Would that make meditation easier for a person new or a novice, someone that's not?
Yes. In fact, what we have done was that we were able to experience. We talked about that, Daryl. For your listeners, Daryl was always talking about the full moon meditation and all that. And guess what? We were able to do 3 full moons in a row on the exact time. We did the exact time. Mm-hmm. So we did that one, and we're going to do this one again and see how it goes. I invite your audience and listeners to do that. It'll be my pleasure.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. And folks, I'm telling you, to the actual meditation, there's a prelude that Dr. Mendoza gives on some topic, and it's just always so enlightening. Just before I forget, the Wednesday meditation that you did last night, you talked with regard to family unity and loving kindness. I thought that was so important with what's going on, with all the turmoil and with folks being so disenchanted, and just really having a sense of unrest. And I understand that because of how, you know, its core came about, at least this particular movement, I believe, because of, you know, the egregious act. I think it just kind of tilted the pendulum into an area of explosion, and so it was sort of like a time bomb that had been ticking from numerous experiences. And I just think that one scenario that happened last month, or actually that was May, just exploded, and there was so much energy that had been built up that it just created an interesting global unrest for justice. So the one thing that I get concerned with is that individuals may, in their zest to really, and I understand it truly as an African American, and that vision that I saw, and it just hurts at your core. But then I know folks that are of all persuasions and religions, it hurts them as well to see something like that. So, but I'm concerned that it doesn't create this energy of a core hatred and unrest inside, that instead we can use that energy, and I'm just thinking in terms of the energy of the full moon, or to be able to think clearly and be able to be rational in trying to make a difference during this auspicious time, as you often say. So how can full moon meditation, or just meditation, but especially full moon, assist with individuals that are just deeply hurt or other emotions such as anger, and some cases even fear? I know you touched upon it earlier in the program, but can you just kind of give a 100,000 approach to how that meditation might be able to help with some of that globally?
Yeah, in fact, during the time that there was a lot of expressions of disparity, inequality, and racism, in fact, even my son said, to be silent is not acceptable. Each one has to speak. Whether you speak that, I said, I recognize this, that's good enough. Because as these deep emotions are expressed, emotions must come out. Only when deep healing is expected, when these emotions come out. And once we realize when these emotions are expressed, we meet they're met with understanding, compassion, and love, then we realize that our true nature, there are no sides, no separation. If then the truth comes, is expressed. You embrace this truth, you act from this truth, and embody that love that defines that truth. And we individually will heal. Deep healing will happen. Our homes will begin to heal. Our country will begin to heal. Our world begin to heal. But it has the action taken without love is just a small band-aid to a much larger unhealed wound. So we need to start with that love. In meditation, you touch that love aspect. You honor the light. You honor a person. You honor the light in a person, the divinity in a person. And we realize, we listen, we understand, we express compassion. And what you said, show loving kindness. Because when one hurts, we all hurt. When one heals, we all heal. Yes or no? So each one of us, we're hurting. So there is no darkness that cannot be healed by the light of the soul or truth. There is no suffering that cannot be soothed by compassion. And I think no pain that cannot be transformed by love. So we listen, we understand, we be kind, we practice love, we practice kindness. And together we will all heal. Mm. Actually, I wrote something like that, and I think I named it "Let Us Unite in Love." That was the stimulation for that. The inspiration for that was the unrest that we have. I knew all of us, we have to speak of what we feel. Black, Asians, but even the white people were able to speak their mind. So that was it. We are all one. We need to speak. It's not only the disparity or the racism for the black people that will heal. No, each and every one of us will heal. And if we realize we all need to be healed, then it will come out and it will flow.
Wow. Master Glenn, not to jump around too much, and I know our time is closing in, can you talk a little bit about attributes for our new listeners of Full Moon of Cancer?
Perfect. That's why it realizes that, okay, Cancer is starting from, I believe, from June until July 22. June 21 to July 22. The Cancer is the crab. Guess what? It's the ruler of Cancer is the moon, which is emotional. What are the positive qualities? You could see it, ladies and gentlemen, on Daryl, who is a Cancer. So he's protective. How can you be protective? Protective of your home, protective of your loved ones, even to a fault. That means you care. You care about the home. You care about others. You have an instinct of caring. Yes, Daryl?
True.
Even to a fault. So that caring aspect is actually important for Cancer. So Cancer is also generous because they wanted to care. If you care for somebody, you care for the homeless, you give. You care for those who are hurting, you help. You care for those who are sick, you heal them. For everybody to know, the United States, is our Independence Day is on July 4, which is a Cancer. So we are one of the most caring countries in the world, except it just changed a little bit, but that's acceptable. we give to organizations and countries who are hurting. That's just our nature. So we care about them. Cancer is also loyal. It's one of the loyal signs. It's loyal. They're committed to friends for life. They are helping loved ones. Even turn their backs on their own beliefs or sense of judgment, as long as because they feel that they have to be loyal to a belief, a system, or their values, their core values. I said they're intuitive also. They're intuitive. So this positive qualities of Cancer we could actually absorb in the full moon. So we could have that. I am not a homebody, but I've been a homebody for the past 4 months. So I like to feel that I have been into that Cancer mode. So everybody could observe that positive qualities of Cancer, of tenacity, dependability, and persuasion. That's basically what the full moon is, because it's the sign wherein the positive qualities of Cancer are actually in the air or in the ether, and we're just going to absorb it. And the best time is to do the meditation, and the best time is during the full moon. So I invite everybody to go to fullmoonmeditation.us for the Sunday 7th of July.
So as we close, then,
with everything going on, if this is a time to pick up extra energy for caring and wanting to make a positive difference, with everything going on, I would say, if I can be biased for my sign, this is an excellent time for as many people as possible to meditate on the attributes of the current sun sign, because Lord knows we need things like caring, generosity. Yes?
Yeah.
Master Glenn?
Yeah, right? Definitely.
With all the turmoil, the hatred, people being so hurt and upset that they want to just to destroy. I love what you said when you said action taken without love is just a Band-Aid. And it's hard. I understand. But I know that people are hurting. And I know people are hurting who are not even of that race or persuasion, because I know how I felt when I thought, what was it, Tiananmen Square, or when I think about the people in the Middle East and just anywhere in the world where people are just being mistreated, I know how I feel for them. So I know that there are others, not just of the black race, that, and you can see it in the protest. Concern is that it's rooted in a hatred, and I don't know if that's, I don't believe that's good, Master Glenn.
Uh-huh.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, what happened was that I think something that we have to go beyond. We're not going to go anywhere with hatred. We're not going to go anywhere. You've heard me. We have to be positive. Positive everything. So some people see the negative in everything and express that. Fine. We have that negative within us. Recognize it. It's coming out. Understand it. Then deal with it. I don't have to share it with other people. I have this negative thoughts. How could you help me? It's coming out. But any negative thing is not healthy to anybody, to oneself, or to others.
Master Glenn, I appreciate you taking the time because you've taken much more time than I knew you had planned. The last thing I want to just mention is your book, Spiritual Truths. As I, perused the book, it speaks to being able to cope with some of these things that we're talking about. I mean, you have the chapters on spiritual truth, of course, soul realization, just spiritual bliss. Do you know what I'm talking about? And this book was written way before all of this. Hasn't that just hit you? I mean, have you thought about that? I'm serious.
No, I think spiritual truth will always be true at all times. It's there, and it will apply in Exodus with Moses. It will apply now. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like what you were saying earlier about lessons during
uncertain times.
Uncertainty, yes. Lessons learned. So you're absolutely correct. But I think it's a great read during this particular time, especially. And it came to mind when I was just talking about what I was mentioning about what people are going through, and I think from this perspective, it kind of helps to settle the heart a little bit. I think people might be kind of heartbroken too.
That's nice. Yes, I think that this, as we understand, the secret is in the heart. The secret is in the heart. So we start with loving kindness, then compassion, then understanding, and then things will happen. The great spiritual teachers knew it. We just have to practice it.
Well, Master Glenn, give us the website. We didn't get to talk much about, and there's so much, as I said at the very top of the program, we didn't get to talk much about prana and pranic healing and how,
yes,
pranic healing could even apply with, corona, right? I mean, yes?
I mean, yes. We have created a parallel to our meditation. We have created almost 50, I call them healing pods, throughout the whole world, and we healed over 1,500 people during this time. It's something that I'm proud of, especially for those who have, because they're just coming from the heart also. They're just coming from the heart aspect. They just want to help and heal and move on.
Now, you say healing. Are you referring to with regard to the current pandemic?
Oh, yeah. We healed. We were healing from all over the world. Look, they were dying. How would we know? So we have pranic healing, which is an energy healing. We tried to do that, understand what the coronavirus is. We have first, they were distant. We don't know who they are. Then we realized they were friends and families and all that. Then all of a sudden we healed. We healed from globally. We have about 2 months, over a couple of thousands of healings done. Over 1,000 people. So that means one person could have healed 3, 4, 5 times, depending on how sick they were. They were being healed. And that was our love aspect to help those in need.
Wow. Wow. You saved the best for last. Well, you know, I'm going to be reaching out. We're going to have some more discourse on that and you know, just peel that back a little bit and discussion of the benefit of pranic healing. But for someone that wants to get some information generally, they can go to your website?
Yeah, pranichealingusa.com. Pranichealingusa.com. So we're there, and we'll help wherever we can do.
Okay, and we'll talk about it in more detail the next time that you're with us, and hopefully that won't be in too far in the future. Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza, thank you so much. I wish nothing but the best for you and family and loved ones, and you all continue to be well. I know that, you know, I will continue to be a student, and I appreciate the work that you're doing, and I know that our listeners appreciate the knowledge and wisdom that you share. Listeners, I can't tell you enough the importance of catching Sunday's meditation at 7 p.m. Fullmoonmeditation.us, www.fullmoonmeditation.us. Is it starting on at 7 or 7:30? Let me look and see, because I got the email. It's 7:30, okay.
Yes.
So it's 7:30, folks. Tell your friends, tell your loved ones. If you forget, of course, you can send me an email. I'm going to be sending out a broadcast email. Share it. 7:30, it's the full moon of Cancer. So during this time, as Master Glenn just shared with us, this is the attributes of love, caring, unity. Is there anyone that doesn't think we especially need that right now? Especially right now with what's going on in our communities, in our towns, in our cities, in our neighborhoods, in our states, in our nation, and in the countries worldwide. So I'm just can't implore you enough to join. Master Glenn, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks.
And sharing. We love you. We appreciate
Thanks.
You. Looking forward to the next time that you join us. Tell family and loved ones that you know, I wish them the best too, please.
Thanks, Darryl. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, I mean, if you didn't get something out of that, I don't know what to say. I may have to throw my hat in on you. If there was not something, you may not have, you know, loved everything that was said, and some of the things might have went over your head, and some of the things you may have disagreed with. But in that course of that last hour, I would say that everyone should have been able to walk away. And the archives are going to be here, folks. This entire program will be under the archives. And it's like a good movie. You watch it the second time, I guarantee you're going to catch something that you didn't catch the first time around. I guarantee it. I've never seen what I believe was a good movie, and there aren't any many out now, that I didn't find something that I didn't catch the first time around. There are some movies I still, like there's one movie. Okay, I'm going on a tangent. Closing bumper tune. And The Magnificent Seven, I'll give you an example. It's an old Western with Yul Brynner and a bunch of other actors, good movie. I can watch the movie right now, and I've seen the movie at least 15 times, at least. I'll put money on it no less than 10 times. And I can watch it again and say, I don't remember that in the background. I didn't know that guy was laying on the ground. That's what this program tonight was like, a good movie. So I encourage you to go to the archives. Tell your friends and loved ones to go to the archives. Last week, we had a great program, talking about the new norm and speaking of some of the things that are going on, the injustices, the racism that's going on in our country, in our world. We had an excellent program. You want to go to the archives to catch that. We talked about solutions. We're going to be coming back in the next week and the next 2 weeks, expanding on that. So make sure that you tune in for those programs as we now begin to take it from observations to solutions. And so we're looking forward to that in the weeks ahead. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday weekend. With what's happening now and the statues being pulled down and all the like, the Columbus statue, Master Glenn said something very interesting. He says, this is about truths. Was it Jack Nicholson that said, can you handle the truth? And one, I can't remember, A Few Good Men. I can't remember the name of the movie. But it was very interesting. He said, love, truth, and compassion is what this is all about right now. And I'm noticing that I was watching the news briefly. It's all fake news. I mean, you can get some glimpse of good things, but Fox and Newsy and what's the other one? One America News and MSNBC and CNN, it's all fake news. To a significant degree. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, you're going to pick up some statistics and facts. I really tune in when I see the charts come up because I know that there's relatively, you can skew charts, but relatively I can get something out of that. But I was catching a piece of it. I don't remember if it was Fox or CNN. It was one or the other because I try to give equal time. It's important, folks. You need to do that because one is not going to give you the truth of the other side. And there are some truths to both sides. And as I'm sitting here and I'm watching it, I'm saying, okay, this is really interesting here. There, the commentator is talking about why are we, taking down statues of Columbus? And then I begin to think, because it's, what do they call it, friendly fire. You know how you have a war and then they say, oh, well, sometimes your own gets caught with some of the fire. It's sort of like that because it's getting caught in the fray, but it's not like friendly fire in that it's not fire that's coming or arms that are being raised against or missiles or bullets that are coming from one's own side. It's coming from the other side, but it's not intended to hit that particular target. So it's as though you're fighting a war against an enemy, a targeted enemy, But then you hit a few other bad guys in, along the way that really aren't the target of your of your fire. And so that's kind of what's happening here, because it's highlighting some of these false truths, such as, you know, the Columbus thing. And I know there are a lot of Italians that are probably really upset about it. But if you look at the history of it, it is what it is. It's not personal. And so, you know, this is all a part of the truths coming out. And so I say, well, while we're on a roll bringing out the truth, let's just bring all the truth, you know, the truths of the matter out that are unquestionable. And it's going to get kind of rocky there, because there will be those that are going to be offended. And then there's going to be some debate in there. Well, wait a minute, how are you to say that that's what really happened or did not, or that's not the truth of the matter? And so I'll be talking more about that in the future, because I'm sure it's going to offend some folks. You know, some of these, what I believe are just, you know, truths of the matter. And a lot of it are things that we've talked about, such as, you know, our so-called heroes. We got to be careful with that elite and our own snakes and our own closets. In our own backyards. And so I'm hoping that a lot of that comes out in the course of us, you know, bringing down things that are offensive specifically for a specific situation. Well, if there are some other things that get caught in that fray that probably shouldn't be there, so, well, so be it, as we say. So, yeah, just, you know, thought I wanted to mention that in light of this weekend being Independence Day weekend or 4th of July. You know, there's a undercurrent of, well, why are we really, I'm speaking of black African-American folks now, why are we really celebrating that when, you know, that Constitution that we celebrate, you know, isn't there some verbiage in there about African-Americans being two-thirds of a human being or a man? Or isn't there some clauses in there that are temporary in terms of our right to vote? And, you know, we talked about these things in last week's program, by the way. And so that's why there's questions about, you know, politically speaking, you know, our so-called political leaders in the past 10, 20 years, black leaders specifically, why hasn't there been a focus on addressing the Constitution? I'm just wondering, is it because if they did, they really wouldn't have, they may feel a chance type of truth and be elected? Well, if that's the case, once you're elected, is it because you are afraid that you may not be able to hold your seat so you don't speak on those things? But in the meantime, those constituents that you supposedly represent are being disenfranchised continually, perpetually? So I'm looking for the politician to come in the office saying, I'm wiping out that clause. This is where I'm coming strong from the hip, and take the risk that they won't get that election. I dare say I think they will, and this is the environment to do that. So that's over these last especially 7-8 years why I have said not just that particular example, but there's many. I do not do wing, right wing, same bird. So as we go into this Independence weekend, well, I appreciate the day off. You know, tomorrow, it's a good thing. But I think we need to be thinking about, especially African Americans, what are we really celebrating? It's like listening to a rap song that's degrading black women as B's and H's. But it has a good beat and a good maybe rhythm to it. And you got our children, especially our young ladies, you know, kind of grooving to that. So we got to be careful, very, very careful. And we're crowding these huge auditoriums that seat 50,000 people with, you know, all of our black elites, entertainers, and politicians, and athletes, and the like, BET, NAACP Awards, all that stuff. And then they have folks on those programs perpetuating that type of thing. We have to be careful and cognizant of that. And so I always like to, in any program that I'm going to be doing, you know, bring some of that to the fore. So again, as I close, as we, well, recognize this independence, and we had to fight for that. I mean, when this thing was written, we were slaves. I'm talking to my African-American brothers and sisters right now. Appreciate everyone else that's listening. I'm speaking into the future, to those who listen to the podcast. I'm so proud. I know for a fact that I have a broad array of listeners, white, Asian, male, female, straight, not so straight, you know, tall, short, heavy, thin, I mean, you know, relatively well to do. You know, I don't have any millionaires that I know of, but we do have some executives that listen in, and those who, you know, are just kind of making it. A broad geographic that tune in. But right now, this is something that it's like a back pain or pregnancy. If you haven't experienced it, you really can't say you know. You can say I appreciate it, but you don't know. To my African American constituents, let's take a side look at this holiday that we're celebrating, knowing that it exists with verbiage that we abhor, knowing it exists. And we need to think about those politicians who are in office. These are intelligent folks. Many of them are attorneys who knowingly know this and will not let a word of that fall off of their lips. Congressional Black Caucus. Excuse me, did I say that? So this is the beginning, folks, I believe, of, as Dr. Mendoza said, truth be told with love and compassion. Because that's where the power is. That's the power in the love. Power in the compassion, the truth. So that's the homework. That's the deliverable. Share that with the loved ones. Share that with the children. At least have some discourse. Do you realize we're celebrating in the 4th of July a constitution that doesn't really represent us when you're talking to your family? Not to say we're not grateful to be here. I don't know. I haven't been all over the world, but right now, as I see it, I'd rather be here than anywhere else. And there may be some spots. You know, I used to think Paris, but man, they're imploding. So that's deliverable, and I want to wish everybody a safe, happy weekend. It doesn't mean we can't celebrate, but let's be careful of what we're celebrating. We celebrate the strides that we have made under that Constitution, the changes that we did make, we the people. Because none of them were made by a politician. Look at your history. Martin,